Now, a leaving certificate student has described as humane having to sit an exam just hours after surgery. 18-year-old Amy Richards from Wexford has written to the Irish Times outlining her experience. Now, after surgery, just a few hours after surgery, and could I say by way of introduction, that is sort of a procedure, as they called them, a few years ago, and I got this anaesthetic, and it was one that sort of makes you sleep. And when I woke up, and you wake up and you have a cup of tea and all that sort of stuff, the first thing they said, and you are not driving, of course, you are being collected because you can't drive. And it felt fine. I said, of course I can drive, but I won't do it, obviously, I'd be collected. But I came home and I was going to have a cup of coffee, and I looked around for the kettle around the kitchen, and I couldn't find the kettle. Now, it turned out that the kettle was straight in front of me, but I actually couldn't see it. It just wasn't there. These anaesthetics play tricks with your mind, till they wear off. So imagine coming out of surgery and then an exam paper being put in front of you, and they said, well, you have to do it. It's the time of in the schedule, the calendar, you have to do it. And trying to do it. Gosh, Amy Richards, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
Okay, does that seem sort of familiar?
Yeah, exactly. I felt so groggy when I woke up, but I didn't really have any other option, so I was sort of forced to do it.
And do you remember anything about what you might have written?
I have a vague idea. Like, I know what I wrote in the essay, but I could not tell you what the comprehension was about or what my kind of shorter answer was. My mum and dad say that when I came out of the paper, I was telling them all about it, but honestly now, I've no idea. Like, I only got to my ward at 4 in the morning after surgery, and I was starting the exam 5.5 hours later, still with oxygen in my nose and heavily medicated. So, yeah, I had a drip in my arm as well, so it wasn't the easiest writing either.
Sounds awful. So where did it all start? You needed to have this surgery, did you?
Yeah, so basically about 10 days before the leaving, I started getting pains in my stomach. But they weren't severe, like I was still able to kind of do my day-to-day things. So it got worse. So my parents brought me to my GP the Wednesday, exactly a week before the leaving started. And I was told, no, it's not appendicitis, it's definitely stress, it's IBS. She doesn't really have any of the symptoms of appendicitis. So go home, I'll give you these medication. And if it worsens, definitely come straight back in. Like, they're very good to come straight back in. So I started to get better, I guess, over the next few days. But then the Sunday before the leaving, it just worsened really quickly. And the Monday night, I didn't get a wink of sleep. I was in so much pain. So Tuesday morning, I was brought to my GP, and she said, you're to go straight to hospital. Like, this looks like appendicitis. So I had a panic attack in the GP surgery because I was due to be starting my leaving cert next morning, and because I wanted to do medicine, I require extremely high points, so I was counting on English as one of my best subjects for the points. So I got to Wexford General around lunchtime, and then at about 7 o'clock that night, I was told it was more than likely acute appendicitis, but they were still unsure. So they said that when they go in for surgery, they might not find anything. And if they don't, they'll come straight back out. I'll be a little bit groggy in the morning, but I'll be able to go home. But that wasn't the case when they went in. When I went in for surgery at 1 a.m. on the morning of my English paper one, they found that my appendix had perforated approximately 5 days before the leaving cert. My appendix was gangrenous, so I had gangrene setting in. I had an abscess, and I had a blood infection. So after the surgery, my mum told me that the surgeon said to her that I was lucky to be alive. So that's kind of the shock that my parents got while we were all focused on exams. Well, mostly me. My parents were kind of obviously more focused on me, but I was preoccupied with my exams. To find out that my life was at risk never really crossed our minds. So that was a big shock. So yeah, I was woken up at 7:30 that morning. The first thing I asked Mum, oh, did they take out my appendix? And when she told me, I got such a fright, but that fright only lasted a minute. And then before I knew it, I was sitting my exam.
God. gosh, yeah. You know, and this has been so important to you as well to do it. So what time was the exam scheduled for? 9 or 10 or something, was it?
Half nine.
And how long was it?
Three hours. English Paper 1 was 3 hours.
Right, and what sort of questions are on English Paper 1?
English Paper 1 is all about kind of composing and comprehending. So I wrote a composition. I think the title was A Place That Shaped You as a Person or something like that. So I wrote about the hospital, from what I can remember. I don't know how well it was written, but yeah, that's what I wrote. So I sat at the table that you eat your meals at, and so that's where I sat my exam, and the school sent an examiner down, so she sat across from my bed. And then I was in the hospital for 5 days, receiving antibiotics, intravenous antibiotics, because I had a blood infection. So I usually, with appendicitis, usually go home the next day or a day after. But I had to stay in for the 5 days because, I was still quite sick. So I did my English Paper 2 as well and my Maths Paper 1 in the hospital.
My gosh. And was there interruptions for the medical staff to look after you?
Yeah, the nurses, I'd say, were coming in every 20 minutes, half an hour, to change my drip, to give me anti-nausea medications, to give me painkillers, because especially for Paper 2 and Maths Paper 1, the nausea that I had was absolutely horrific. I had to end both of those exams early because I ended up on the floor in my bathroom sick. So I basically, for the medical interventions, they'd add up the time and you get added on at the end of the exam. But I couldn't really make use of that because I was just too sick to continue. Like, I think everybody kind of understands when you feel nauseous, it's the only thing you can really concentrate on. So I couldn't really focus on my papers because all I felt was, I feel really hot, I feel suffocated, I feel like I'm going to get sick. What if I get sick on my paper? Like, what am I going to do? So, yeah, it wasn't pleasant at all.
It's far from that. It doesn't show you at your best, and the weight that's put on these exams, particularly when you're assessed with points and things like that, in order to get into a job. So presumably you've asked, could I resit this at some stage, and what sort of answers did you get?
Basically, when we were in A&E the Tuesday before, my dad was on the phone to the State Examinations Commission, and he brought up the new pilot that was taking place, I think, over the next 2 days now in July for bereaved students. And although I was not bereaved, he pleaded with them saying that I was not going to be fit to sit an exam. I was very ill. And they said that there's two options. I could either forfeit English or I could sit the exam at 9:30 with the rest of the country. But if I forfeit English, English is a minimum entry requirement for the majority, if not all, of Irish universities, so I'd automatically have to resit my leaving cert because there's not an option to carry over subjects from 1 year to the next. I'll have to resit everything. So I made the decision myself to do the exam. My parents weren't keen. They weren't pushing me to do anything. It was me, myself. The surgeon himself said that I was mentally impaired and that I was not fit to sit the exam, but I just could not bear the thought of having to wait a whole other year to resit. And the thing is, if I was to resit in 2020, not only would I have to learn a new syllabus for both English and music, there's new Irish traffic tours, and I'd have to resit the HPAT because I can't carry over my HPAT results. So I'd essentially have to do 2 years of work in 1 year. So it's quite annoying when people say to me, well, it's just 1 year, you can repeat next year. It's 2 years of work that you have to do in 1 year, and I don't think a lot of people actually understand how important the Leaving Cert is to a lot of people. And I think the majority of teenagers, like in 6 year this year, can agree with me when we say how hard it's become and how competitive it is, and all of us have worked so hard. So for someone to say, well, it's just another year, not that it undermines all the work that we've put in for the last 2 years dedicating our lives to this one exam. Like, it wasn't really an option for me at the time. So I made the decision myself and I wanted to go through with it. So it was me, myself, that made that decision.
Right. When are the results out?
They're out in August 13th.
well, it's as I told you about my experience, doing something after general anesthetic, you certainly want 24 to 48 hours to have your mind working again. So there must be some, you know, it's not like having a cold. You know what I mean? Or say you can sniffle your way through, take some paracetamol or something. With a drug being put into your body to change your perception of the world, surely there's a case similar to the bereavement situation, you know?
Exactly, and that's just what I'm kind of fighting for at the minute, because, like, I'm finished now. Like, I've done my leaving. It's kind of, it's in the past, and I'm looking to the future now, so I just don't want other people to have to go through what I've gone through and what so many other teenagers have gone through, because I'm not the first. I've heard so many stories of other people just like me and children or young adults that are sicker than me. So I just hope that the State Examinations Commission can just look in and try to just have a little bit more empathy for sick students.
Right, and you're on Twitter and all that, Amy, are you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
Good, because we want to follow you and see, because no doubt you'll tweet in mid-August and we'll be watching, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So we wish you all the very best. Are you taking it easy now, or what? What's the plans?
Yeah, I'm off for the summer now, so trying to find a little bit of work and just enjoying the summer before the results come out.
Yeah, and you're missing out on where? Magaluf or Santa Ponsa? Or
my friends are all back from Portugal. So
Portugal,
I didn't get to go, but look, it's fine. There'll be other holidays.
Very good, okay. Well, wish you all the very best and hope they're listening, Amy. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Look after yourself. Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Amy Riches there. You can read her letter in the Irish Times. Isn't she great? Isn't she brilliant? And wish her all the very best and hope it all works out. And it'll be Dr. Richards at some stage in the future. Fingers crossed. Morning show at East Coast.